as earth he is coming as king, coming in power and in glory to reign. Far above all, God has exalted him, far above all, from him as Lord and his faithfully fall. Shall be given to God, glorious to reign with our Lord on the throne. Chained the usurper and broken his rod, Jesus as King every nation shall own. My Savior, I lean unto thee, reign in my heart as Redeemer and Lord. Make me what thou wouldest have me to be, filled with thy Spirit and filled with thy Word. Far above all,
this morning, and we're going to begin the reading at just to get us going, we're going to begin the reading at verse 1, and we're going to read a few verses here. We want to read from verse 1 down to verse 13 of Numbers chapter 20. And this is a well-known story. It's the story of Moses, where he struck the rock twice, and where the children of Israel had no water. And also in this chapter, but you'll notice if you go through the whole chapter, there's two deaths. There's the death of Miriam, and there's the death of Aaron. And also there's the death of Moses foretold. And you know, I didn't want to preach this. I didn't want to bring this. And you know, there's other things you could talk about. But I feel this is a word from the Lord. And we need to hear from God. We need to hear from all the time. Every time we come in this room, we need to hear from the Lord. Bear with me and we'll try and read these verses. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought us up? Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt drink bring forth of them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fast fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. We'll end the reading there. We'll ask the Lord again to bless his word. Our Father, this morning, we thank you, Lord, for a sense of your presence in this room and for the songs we've been able to sing. And Lord, we thank you for the prayers that already has been prayed. And Lord, for the thoughts that has come into our minds, Lord, concerning you. And we ask you, Lord, that you'll close us in with yourself here. And you'll block out every distraction and every other thought, Lord, that's not of you. And help me especially, Lord. And Lord, don't let me come across as being angry with your people. Or don't let me take the heart out of anybody or the legs from them. But help me to speak what you want me to speak. And may we receive instruction from your word. And may that, Lord, may we be the bearer of it. And may it make difference in our life, Lord. And Lord, many of us doesn't, we're just in the place where you want us to be. But help us, Lord, to be listening, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name. We commit your word to you, Lord, and we say, we know your word will not return unto you void, but it will prosper in the thing whereto you do send it. Now, Lord, I just pray you will bless your people and encourage your people and strengthen your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You have your seats. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, it's very close to Easter. I had a bit of a message about the resurrection, and that's what Easter's about, isn't it? It's about the resurrection. And I would have rather had tried to speak on it. And I felt the Lord was saying, no, this is what I want you to speak about. And the Lord spoke to me years ago, and this is the verse he spoke to me. It was Isaiah chapter 8, and it was verse 13. And a woman came to me to give me a word from the Lord. A woman. Now, when I say a woman came to me, that woman had the spirit of prophecy on her. That woman was a woman filled with the Holy Ghost. And I believe she had a word from the Lord. And she came to me and she gave me this word. And there it is up on the board. As Isaiah chapter 8, on his verse 13, it says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. And let him be your fear. And let him be your dread. Now, but this is not maybe what I've come to say this morning, but listen, you ought not to have any fear on you, only the fear of the Lord. Now, when I said that, the fear of the Lord will do you good. The fear of the devil or the fear of the enemy will bring torment and will destroy you. But the fear of God will prosper you. The fear of God will make you well. The fear of God will prosper you in everything that you put your hand to do. God will bless you when you've got the fear of God on you. And when you sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Himself. When you sanctify the Lord, you are obedient to what he is telling you to do. And when you don't sanctify him, you're disobedient. That's the long and the short. That's your way or else it's God's way. That's God's way or else it's my way. Well, I don't want my way because my way is no good. My way doesn't work. God's way works. Now, see this story about Moses. There's a whole lot of different people given different reasons why Moses didn't enter into the promised land. Well, the Bible tells us why he didn't enter in. He didn't enter in because he didn't sanctify the people before the eyes of the Lord. He didn't sanctify the people before the eyes of the Lord. And it had repercussions. Now, I feel sorry for Moses. I do. Moses didn't really deserve this, in my eyes. Why? The people started moaning and groaning. Now, they had no water. This is the second time they had no water. And the first time they had no water, God spoke to Moses as he always does, and he told Moses to bring them out to the rock, and he told them to take the rod and hit the rock and smite the rock. And Moses smote the rock one time, and the water came out. But here we are again, and they've been in the wilderness for almost 40 years. And they still have the same complaint. Now they've no water again. And they're fighting against Moses. They're striving with Moses, and they're striving with Aaron. And they say to Moses, "Would to God we had died before the Lord whenever our brethren died." Now the people that died before the Lord was the people that the ground opened and swallowed. And Moses said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Let them come over." And you see, the people that rebelled against Moses and said, "Are you the only one that God has spoke to? You brought us out here to kill us." And again here, these people are saying, "Why you brought us into this place? There's no soil here. Nothing will grow here." You know, the devil wants to get you into a place where there's no growth. There's no adding to. You plant something that doesn't grow. Imagine planting potatoes and they didn't grow. Any vegetable. Imagine the farmer sowing a field of barley or a field of wheat and it didn't grow. You see, the prodigal ate the husks that the swine did eat. The Bible said he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. What is the husk? The husk's only, there's no germ of life in it. There's nothing in the husk for the soul. It'll fill you up with nothing. There's no nourishment in it. There's no power to generate life. Listen, when you get the Holy Ghost, that's the life. That's the life that's behind the blood that makes the devil tremble. It's the Holy Ghost and power. It makes a difference. These people have a list of stuff. Verse 5 says, "And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place?" See, it's an evil place they're in. And there's no place of seed or of figs or of vine or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. They're in a bad way, aren't they? And it's all Moses' fault. It's all Aaron's fault. And you see, there's a whole uprising and it's a strife. Wilderness place. That wasn't their destination. And then you see here, I've written some things down, Moses and Aaron, they go to the door of the tabernacle and they have a meeting with the Lord. Now, there's two types of meetings. Two types. One of them's a spiritual meeting. That's why you come to church. You come to church to worship the Lord. You come to church to meet with God. You come to church to hear from God. And then there's another type of a meeting. You know what it's called? A social. Social. Now you can go to a social meeting in a church. Or you can go to a spiritual meeting in a church. Now, 9 times out of 10, don't get me wrong, social meetings are held in other places. But what happens in a social meeting? Anything at all. Man's ways happen. What happens in a spirit-filled meeting? God's way. That's what happens in a meeting where the Holy Ghost is moving. God's way happens. What happens whenever God has his way? People get saved. People get filled with the Holy Ghost. People get the baptism. People are healed. People are delivered. People are set free. But here Moses comes down and Aaron goes with them, and they get away. They get away from the social meeting. Get down to the door of the tabernacle. And what does the Bible say about Moses and Aaron when they come down to the door of the tabernacle? The Bible says they fell on their faces. That's attitude. That's sanctification. That's reverence. That's humility. That's wanting God. That's hunger. You know, Moses had no natural water to drink. Aaron had no natural water to drink. But it didn't stop him coming down and getting down on his knees, falling prostrate before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle. And what happens? The Bible says the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. It's verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly. They went from the presence. They went from the social gathering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. You know, these people, and they're not far from here, and they run a church, and they seem to be prospering, but they have electrical equipment to make like a cloud. And they have flashing lights like a disco. And some places they go, people want the lights dimmed, and the spotlight on the preacher. I am me, and who's like me? Spotlight on the preacher. And the people sitting in the dark, they're in the dark all right. What's wrong with people? They're trying to make God come on the scene. How do you make God come on the scene? Ask the Lord to come. Bow your head and be reverent. Be reverent before him. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. But you know, I hear about people, and they wear up the microphone, and some of these preachers want it that it's electrical, that when you touch it, you're going to get a shock. You know, people go to church and they come back home from church and they say it was electric. You don't hear the disciples saying it was electric. They said the power of the Lord was present to heal.
Amen.
Said Peter walked down the street in the very shadow of Peter.
Amen.
When he passed by, his shadow overshadowed somebody and they were healed. Said silver and gold have I none,
Amen.
But such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's a man that has been in the presence of the Lord. That's a man that has the power of God on him. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know, if you're hungering for that, God can give it to you. It can come on you. And these men went and they fell down before the Lord. And they were laying there. And God come. The glory of the Lord appeared on them. What was that glory? Was it the pillar of fire? Was it the cloud? Let the cloud of glory now descending.
Amen.
I believe the children of Israel looked. I believe they saw the cloud and was over Moses and Aaron at the door of the tabernacle. God descended in the cloud. I tell you, he can come down in a cloud or a pillar of fire if he wants to. And he can appear to you. And that glory can come on you. Listen, the glory of God was on Moses when he went up the mountain. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. He came back down and he went to speak to the people. And what did they say? Cover your face, Moses. Why cover your face? Because the glory of God was on him. And the Bible says he wist not that his face did shine. You don't get that in the Bible school. You don't get it from electric shock. You don't get it from a false light. And if you're hungry, I didn't bring out a picture of a meal and show it to you. Because it's not going to feed you. You need the real thing.
Amen.
I'm saying that again. You need the real thing. And it's not Coca-Cola. It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's the real thing. Now, verses 7 and verse 8, the Lord is speaking and he has given a command. He didn't say to Moses, this is something that I might want you to do. He said, this is something that I want you to do. This is something that I want you to do. The Lord is speaking to Moses and he's speaking to Aaron and he's given a command. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. And Moses, I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. Do we always listen to what God's trying to tell us? Or I have a habit of saying to the man, and I've said it before and I've said it on the pulpit, we need to listen when we come to church with both ears. Because if you listen with both ears, it comes in through both ears and it goes down into your heart. But if you listen with one ear, it comes in through this ear and goes across and out through that and away. Not listening. You're only half listening. Something else. When God speaks to you, you need to be ready to do something different, maybe, from what you're doing. You need to be ready to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to go and do that. And I'm going to go and do it immediately. I'm going to do it now. Because I mightn't have tomorrow, or I mightn't have next week, or I mightn't have next month, or I mightn't have next year. I don't know how long I've got to do what you have told me to do. And I need to start doing it right away. Now, verses 7 and verses 8, the Lord has given detail. He's given detail. Information what to do. Now, I meant to be talking about our way, or God's way. So Moses and Aaron are at the door of the tabernacle and they get the instructions from God. So that's God's way. But then in verses 9 and 10, Moses does part of what he has been commanded to do. I said he does part of what he was told to do. And I'm going to read you verses 9 and 10. And you see, the Lord told him, I better to read you verse 8. This is what the Lord told Moses. He said, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Now this is what he was to do. He was to speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak you unto the rock before their eyes. Speak the word. And it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. So there's water come out for the people, and not only for the people, but for the livestock. Now that's the commandment of the Lord. That's the commandment. Take the rod, get the people together, and then in the eyes of the people, sanctify the people. Get them together, and then speak to the rock. Now Moses done part of it. He done part of what he was told to do. It's not enough to do part. It's not enough. You need to do it all. Do what the Lord says. Now, whenever Moses began to do this, whenever he began, he got up from the presence of the Lord and he took the rod. And then he gathered the people together. And then what did he do? He went his own way. That's right. He done something that he ought not to have done. That's whenever... Now listen what I've written down here. You can have your own interpretation of this, but I've written down here Moses does his own thing when he smote the rock twice with the rod in his hand. Moses done his own thing. You know, if I had been there, I'd have done worse. I'm not condemning Moses. If I had been there, I'd have done worse than what he done. He said, "You are a bunch of rebels." That's what he said. That's a well-known phrase here. "You are a den of rebels." I wonder, are we a den of rebels in this church? Oh no, we're loyalists. When it comes to the Lord and what the Lord tells us, what we are with. And here Moses, he starts off well. A man said to me one time, "You can back a horse and he can start off well," but he says it's not the way a horse starts, it's the way he finishes. What way do we start? What way do we finish? What's the most important thing? The way you start or the way you finish? The way you finish.
Amen.
The way you finish. The way you conclude. The way you complete the project that the Lord asked you to do. And Moses comes down and he does his own thing. Why did he do his own thing? Because he done what he wasn't meant to do. And he smote the rock twice. Brother David McConville said to me one time, "John, once he smote the rock twice, that was wrong, because he said the rock was Christ and he was only smote once." Well, that's true. But he wasn't even to smite the rock. He was to speak to it.
Amen.
He was just to speak to it. Listen, is there something in your life that you need to speak to? Is there something in my life that I need to address and need to speak to? I need to make it conform to the image of God. Does God had to speak to me to make me conform to the image of God, to the image of Christ? Paul said, "I put labor upon you until Christ be formed in you." Boy, right there, this become, and I've written it down here somewhere if I can find it. You can just go in a moment from a spiritual meeting to a social meeting. And whenever Moses took that rod, and it was the rod that he'd used all the time, and it's the rod that Aaron threw down. It's the same rod. It's the rod I believe he had when he was in the backside of the desert, and the bush was burning, and he'd come up close, and the Lord said, "Draw not nigh hither, Moses, but put off thy shoes, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground." And there Moses came, and the bush burned, it wasn't consumed, and the angel of the Lord came and spoke to him out of the bush that burned. Said, "Throw the rod down." threw it down, it became a serpent. He said, take it by the tail. And he took it by the tail, it came back a rod. And then he goes in before Pharaoh, and on throws the rod down, and it became a serpent. But they brought in the way, the astrologers, they threw their rods down, and it became serpents. But Moses' rod swallowed theirs up. What are we looking for? What are we looking for? Are we looking for God to bring us into this land of promise? Are we looking for entertainment? Are we looking for Coca-Cola? Are we looking for fizz and pop? Are we looking for the genuine article, the Holy Ghost on fire? The power of God, the real anointing that destroys the yokes, sets the captive free. You see, what have I written down here? Well, the Bible's the best. It's the best, preacher. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. That's Moses' way. That's man's way. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. You know, God still done it. God still done it. God still gave the water out of the rock. What was that? Type of Christ. Type of Christ. Didn't Jesus come down to the well and the woman at Samaria? He said to the woman, if you knew the gift of God and he who asked you to give him a drink, you would ask of him and he would have given you living water. But there's a type of Christ. And God stood over his people, and God was sanctified in his people because he gave them the water out of the rock. But Moses was disobedient. No disrespect to him. He was disobedient here. Why? It was Moses' way. It wasn't God's way. And it went, just in a moment, it went from a spiritual meeting to a social meeting. Different thing. Different thing altogether. And what happened? The Lord gave the water. The Lord gives the water. It's always the Lord who gives the increase. We can't make anything. He's a creator. He's the one that gives the increase. He's the one that provides. He's the one that can give you a drink when you're thirsty. I haven't got anything. Only the Spirit of the Lord has got everything. But what happens here? The Lord's displeased. The Lord is displeased. There's all this congregation and the drinking water that the Lord has provided, but the Lord's displeased. That's sad. Verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me. The Lord said he wanted to be sanctified. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be cleansed and set apart. God wants, this is the will of God, Paul says, even your sanctification. God wants you to be sanctified. What for? His use, not your own. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Sanctified. 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 And the Lord was displeased with Moses and Aaron because they should have known better. Should have known better. Should have known better not to do that. On the road long enough. We're on the road long enough. We should know better not to do some of the things we do. We should know better. And verse 12 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Now, let me say this. If you disobey the Lord, when is the most important time for you to be sanctified? Now, we need sanctified all the time. But when is one of the most important times for you to be sanctified? Or for you to sanctify the Lord? I'm going to tell you. When you come to church, why? Because there, that's the place where God wants to speak to you. And in the place when God comes to you and God speaks to you, that's the place where you need to sanctify yourself. When God tells you to do something, you needn't just put it off. You need to sanctify yourself unto His will. You see, if you don't do that, what happens to you? You become a hearer of the word only and not a doer. And Moses and Aaron was hearers of the word, but they were only part in doing here. They weren't doing it. They weren't doing what they were told. And this wasn't God's way. This was man's way. This was a social. You know, I was away there. I was missing from church. On his way up the country at Strabane. And my two grandsons is in an accordion band. And they were having a celebration because the band's 50 years on the road. Boy, there were nice people there. And there were faithful people to the band. And they were saying good things and pleasant things about each other. But it was just a social event. God never got a look in. Now that's a bit harsh for me to say that. Young Robert Sproul, my grandson, he was interviewing a woman from Radio Ulster, I was going to say from Vatican Radio. And she had interviewed him and he was on the radio. He was on Vatican Radio, only he doesn't know that yet. He thinks he was on the BBC. But he was interviewing her because she used to be in the band. And Robert had to stand up at the front. Now, I think he's 10 going on 90. But he had to stand up at the front. And he had to play that hymn, "Give me oil, my lamp, keep me warm." And then the whole band joined in with him. And the woman who was on from Radio Ulster, she could play the accordion. And she was playing also. And there's another woman there who was playing. But you know, they had it up here. But I don't know if they had it here. Somebody said, if we could ever get from our mouth to our heart, God would have done something. And you know, I wondered when they played that, and I would to God it would be a reality for young Robert that the Holy Ghost will come on him.
Amen.
And he'll have that oil in his lamp that keeps him burning, because without that oil, you're going to be left behind.
Yes.
Oh, boy. And all them big men there, and all them big women, if that's the right thing to say about a woman, but all them elderly women and young women, older men, younger men, all that group together, and it's just a social gathering, and they're singing, they're playing a hymn, but it's not in spirit, and it's not in truth. Doesn't do anything for the soul. Nothing. Go out empty. Oh boy. See, Moses done something here that he could not undo. Did you know that?
My wife was talking to me the other day, and she's talking about a man and woman that married 10 years. And she says to me, where did the 10 years go? I says, I know where they went. She looked at me. I says, they're spent. That's where they went. They're spent. Spent. You'll never get them back again. They're gone. History's gone. You not yet yesterday. It's over. You not get the opportunity again to speak to the rock if you miss it this time, Moses. Moses, you've got a chance today, but if you miss it, you're finished with that. That's sad, boy. That's sad. You know, I used to have an old saying way back in the Elam years ago. Know what it was? When you get the ball at your toe, you need to kick it. What does that mean? That means when the Spirit of the Lord comes sweeping over the meeting, and when the Holy Ghost comes in the meeting, you need to take advantage of it. And let me say this also, you do not use God in the gift. God has to use you in the gift. You start to use him. Why, that's only a show. God's not interested in entertainment. He's not interested in showmanship. He's interested in you being sanctified to do his will and his will only. God wants you sanctified. Now, there was repercussions to Moses. And there wasn't only repercussions to Moses. There was repercussions to Aaron. Why was there repercussions to Aaron? Aaron was there. Aaron was there. Aaron was there when the Holy Ghost descended. Aaron was there when God spoke a word. Aaron's without excuse. You know, if God speaks to you about something, you're now without excuse. I had a photograph of the pillar of fire in the back of my car. I brought it out and I showed it to a Catholic man. He said he was saved from a share of rainbow. That's what he's saved from. I said, I've got a photograph here. It's the pillar of fire. And I says, I don't know whether to show it to you or not. Well, he says, I'll look at it. I says, well, now you're responsible. You're responsible now. Because you saw this. But I mind the boy coming in and say, Patrick, and he was a British Israelite. I want to tell you, I believe it's false. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. This boy came in and he went off like an alarm clock. Brrr. He got a book. He says, will you buy the book? You can give a free will donation. I says, I'll buy it and I'll read it. And I says, if I find one line in it that's false, I'm burning in the fire. I says, do you know the Lord? He says, I know him. I says, will I get a picture of him? I'll bring you out a picture of the pillar of fire and show it to you. And I says, if you know him, will you recognize his photo? I never seen a man running for the door as quick. He got out as quick. He ran to the car and I ran after him. Boy, these things are real. These things are real. That man never come back, but his book must have been burnt. Was put it in the fire, burned it. You know, some of us have books in the house and need to burn them. And you know that. Need to get rid of them. Need to burn them. Don't learn the ways of a man. Learn the ways of God. Don't follow a man. Follow the man, Jesus Christ. There's only one man that you're to follow. There's only one man that you're to want to get in touch with. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one God. There's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. There isn't anybody else. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. I'm taking up all your time. It's
quarter past 12 nearly. Well, my watch is fast. Don't worry. That's an Irish one, isn't it? My watch is fast. Don't worry. I'll have you out of here in no time. Praise the Lord. Oh, I. You mightn't think it, but I really feel for Moses. I really feel for Aaron. Why, he done all the hard work. Moses had all the hard work. Without Moses, there wasn't going to be anybody out of Egypt. Moses was obedient. And he was faithful, the Bible says. He was faithful. But this one time, the Bible says he spoke ill-advisedly. And it went wrong for him. He says, you're a bunch of rebels. And God still sanctified the people for getting the water. God still honored the people. And Moses went, and the Lord says to him, you're not going to bring these people, this congregation, into the promised land because of what you've done. And he said, Aaron's going to die. And I'm not going to take the time to read it to you, but you know what? I suppose I could do it quickly. In verse 22 of the same chapter, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came onto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against me, against my word at the water of Meribah. Now the word Meribah interpreted means waters of strife. The people strove against the Lord and strove against Moses. And here the Lord is telling Moses about Aaron. That's what's going to happen to him. And then he says, this is what to do in verse 25. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up onto Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. And shall die there. Die there. He'll die up in the mountain. Verse 27. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. And they went up into the mountain, Mount Hor, in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mountain. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount, and when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Listen, there's three men goes up the mountain, and there's only two come back. I know Aaron was an old man, but three men go up the mountain, and two men come back. Why? Aaron had heard the voice and he was responsible. And God required it out of him. And Moses is next. He's next on the line. Imagine, a prophet of God. Somebody said a prophet can't make mistakes. You must be joking. Must be joking. Because a man's a prophet doesn't mean he's infallible. There's only one infallible. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now listen, I want to come to the close. I'm spending a lot of time. Listen, if you just turn with me, and I haven't said, I have more here, but I'm not going to take your time. I want you to go to Deuteronomy. Oh, I thought I wrote it down here, but maybe I didn't write it down. But it's Deuteronomy, it's chapter 3. And I'm going to read you a few verses here. Listen to this. I said that Moses couldn't undo what he had done. No. He couldn't undo it. Deuteronomy chapter 3. This is the repercussions coming on Moses. The repercussions has come on Aaron. And now they're coming on Moses. Why? He's not going to bring them into the land of promise. Moses is not going to bring them into the land of promise. He's going to die. Now you think Moses didn't care why he wanted to go, why he would go into that land of promise or not? Yes, he did care. He sought the Lord about it. Moses prayed. You know, when we read verse 12 there and number 20, Numbers 20 and verse 12, you hear there where the Lord was displeased and he told Moses, he says, you'll not bring this congregation into the land of promise. You'll not bring them in. Why? Because you didn't sanctify me in the eyes of the people. You didn't do what you were meant to do.
Where are we reading? Verse 23. Now this is about the same. This is about the same business here. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? And verse 25 says, and I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, and that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. This is the time when the Lord said to Moses, don't ask me again. Don't ask me again about this matter. You're not going. Moses, you're not going. And don't ask again. You see, it was a cut-off point because it wasn't a spiritual act. It was a social act. Cut-off point. Now Moses is in heaven. I know he's there. If we're as sure as Moses, we're all right with nothing to worry about. Didn't he come down on the Mount of Transfiguration? He's alive and well. And God buried him. But he went up into the mountain and he died. The Lord said, I'll tell you what I'll let you do. I'll let you see it with your eyes. You know, there's a man one time in the Bible and he saw with his eyes the revival, but he never took part of it. And that was when the four leprous men rose up in the twilight and went on to the host of the Syrians. And they fled, for the Lord made them hear the sound of a great host coming against them. And there wasn't anybody coming against them. And they fled. And them four leprous men rose up in the twilight. And they went on to the camp and they found the horses and they found the meal. They found all the stuff fled over the fields where they fled. And then the next day it was sold in the gate of Samaria, and the prophet said to the old man whose hand the king leaned on, he says, you'll see it with your eyes, but you'll not eat thereof. You can be close. You can be close. You can be close and miss it. You can be right beside it and miss it. Miss the opportunity. Spent. Gone. Not to come back. And that's what the Lord said. Listen, I haven't come here to scold you. I haven't come here to scold you. I've come here this morning. You might be thinking, but I've come here to try to help. Oh, let the Lord sanctify us. Let the Lord sanctify us.
You see, you'll read about Moses and how he went up into the mountain and the Lord buried him. The Lord buried him. The Lord, he buried him. Moses saw that. He saw it. He saw the promised land. He was allowed to look over it, but he didn't enter into it. That one time he displeased the Lord. That was one time. That was his last time, I believe. What he done displeased the Lord. Now listen, I'm almost finished. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 17, he's praying to his Father and he says, I'm not turning until maybe Matthew want to bring that up first, please, Matthew. John chapter 17 and 17. It's easy to remember for us the two 17s. And the Lord is talking and he's praying to his Father and he's praying to his disciples about his disciples and he's saying, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Without truth, there's no such thing as sanctification. Now, people can talk all they want to talk, but if they don't talk truth, there's no sanctification. There's only sanctification through the word. And Matthew, give us another couple of verses, 18 and 19. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And listen to what he says. Listen to what the Lord says. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Are you one of them? You're meant to be. As the Lord sent his disciples into the world, he has sent you into the world. So if you're either one of them or else you're not. There's no middle ground here. We used to sing that old song, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And verse 19 says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And why did Jesus sanctify himself? How did he sanctify himself? By obedience. By obedience. How will you sanctify yourself? By obedience. By obedience under what the Lord's asking you to do. Not what somebody else is asking you, by obedience unto what he wants you to do. Praise God. I've got a verse in Ephesians chapter 5, and it's verses 25 and 26. Matthew, will you turn that, please, because you'd get it quicker than me. You're fast in the draw. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. God speaks his word to you to sanctify you. God speaks his word to you to clean you. Jesus said, now you clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. No word, no washing of the water. No word, no washing of the water, no cleansing, no sanctification, no setting apart. But God has called us, I believe. God has called you and God has called me. And he wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be set apart. And he doesn't want us always to have our way. God wants to have his way in our lives. I've one more scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. And the God of peace sanctify you wholly. And pray God your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And there's Brother Matthew has it up. And the very God of peace sanctify you halfway. Now, holy, holy, complete work, holy, holy, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless. You know, the fact that he said that, that's the fact that tells me that you can get out of step with the Lord. You can go your own way. But God doesn't want you to go your own way. God wants you to go his way. God wants you to go his way. Mold me and fill me after thy, make me after thy will while I'm waiting, yielded and still. You know, there's four verses to this hymn, and I want you to stand and I want you to sing it. And then if Tommy wants to come, and I don't know how Tommy's going to fix what I have broke, but if he wants to come, and then Jerry wants to come. But God bless you. God bless you. You go and read that. You read that over when you get home. Read it over. It was a mistake on Moses' behalf. Couldn't undo it. Harm was done. Couldn't undo it. You know, this here hymn applies to me more than anybody else. I need to make this my prayer. Will you make it your prayer? Because what might have been, if things had been done different, what might have been? Would we have new members this morning? Would we have new people this morning? Would somebody be back in the fold? Would the lost sheep have come home? Or would somebody have come to the fold for the first time and give their life to Jesus Christ? That's a serious business. Let's sing. Amen, sister. Have thine own way. Hi.